You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. And they gave up some good pieces for sure, but Quinn Hughes is an elite offensive defenseman, something the Wild really haven't had in their organization ever. And, so far, so good returns on Quinn Hughes.
It's been awesome, and appreciate you having me on. But the way this team has been playing with all these call-ups and injuries has been remarkable. And I think they got a jolt. The vibes are high, and in large part because you go out and make a move like this, you prove to the team, the organization says to the players, like, hey, we're taking the next step potentially. So I think it's kind of twofold. Team was playing well to begin with, but you get an injection of talent and skill and just elite compete like Hughes brings to the table. I think it goes a long way.
Now they got some injuries too on the back end, and Brodin and yeah. Middleton. So it's perfect timing for him. But it also allows some of the young guys, to get their feet wet a little bit. Where's Jurecek at?
Well, that's a good question. He's kind of been still part of the development plan, still a little bit of a project. He played opening night for Minnesota and then sat, kind of thereafter a little bit back and forth. Brodin was sort of coming back from an off-season injury or procedure, whatever you want to call it. So Jurecek kind of in and out. Then he eventually went down to Iowa, got a bunch of games there. And then, as you mentioned, the blue line kind of ravaged again. Middleton gets hurt, Bogosian gets hurt, Brodin's hurt. Now Damon Hunt's out. So the other night against Columbus, last night, I got my days are in a little blender here, but last night against Columbus, they had Carson Lambos making his NHL debut. They had Matt Kierstead playing with Jarrett Spurgeon, hence why Faber and Hughes had to play darn near half the game. So for Jurecek, I think it continues to be a work in progress. He's still recently turned 22 years of age. He's a big right shot D. He's got all the tools. I think his skating was not an issue like Columbus made it out to be. I don't think that's something the Wild are concerned about. He's got a big shot. It's just whether or not he can dial it all in, the details of the game, not turning pucks over, not going rogue and trying to maybe beat a guy one-on-one. Just stay within the structure, play simple, use his size and his ability, and I think he'll get there. Certainly right now, you're probably a little underwhelmed if you're a Wild fan looking at what they gave up to get him. But again, he's just 22. I think there's, there by no means is this a player that's written off, and he's still very much in the development phase.
The Wild, I look at their team, it's obviously very strong in goal on the back end. I really like their forward group. They would love another top six center for sure. Joel Eriksson is an excellent number two center and probably, maybe a low number one type of center. Now, number one centers don't grow on trees, so it's going to be hard. But Bill Guerin is never afraid to take a swing. But do you think, I see a lot of people say, Nazem Kadri. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it on one hand, but it's the term of Kadri that's more of the concern for me.
Yeah, and I haven't really heard that name, Jason, but you're right. They, even before the Marco Rossi, before Rossi is part of the Hughes deal, you could argue that the Wild still need another top six forward. Hughes obviously brings some offense that isn't necessarily from a forward, but he drives the play. His stretch passes are, darn near the best in the league. He carries the puck out of it. He's a one-man breakout. I mean, all those things, the power play won't prove, but they definitely need something else up front, whether that's experience and the ability to pot 15 or 20 goals in the regular season, or if that's a higher end player than that, that might still be younger. I think that remains to be seen, but the issue is going to be obviously the term portion of it. Going into next year, Kaprizov's going to get a hefty raise. Hughes would be then in the last year of his deal. You still have Boldy at a very manageable number. Eriksson X locked up long-term, Faber's locked up long-term, but you have to start to look at, yes, the cap is jumping, mm-hmm. But you got some guys that are coming up either pretty soon end of term for their deals, or guys that are getting big raises as their new contracts kick in. So I'd be surprised if the Wild get a player that's a high salary guy with term. I just don't know they can make that work. But maybe it's a veteran guy that has won a Stanley Cup, that's looking for a change of scenery. Maybe it's a guy whose contract is expiring sooner rather than later. Those are the types of guys I think they'll be looking at right now. Again, if they stay healthy, if they're accruing cap space and they have the ability to kind of make one more move.
The Wild pretty much rotate their goalies. Now, I know that Gustavsson go back-to-back. He hadn't done it a ton. The longer the season goes, do you think, would the Wild stick with that? And it's probably too early to know, but, I just remember Boston not sticking with it after their perfect, almost perfect season, and then they lost in the first round, right? And they went to one goalie who hadn't played six games in a row all year long, and then suddenly they did it at that time. Do you think they're that comfortable with both? And I think it might make sense. Get you what got you to the dance. And if splitting gets you to the dance, then stick with it.
Yeah, and if you had looked at it in October, it wasn't going to be that case. I mean, Jesper Wallstedt, for as good as he's been, wasn't, excellent his first two or three starts. The whole team really had a pretty clunky month of October going 3-6-3. They've been one of the best teams in the league since. But even Gustavsson started a little slow. So at the start of the year, I think everybody thought Gustafson's going to be 55 to 60 starts. Falstead will clean up the rest, with Marc-Andre Fleury retiring at the end of last season. And now they both played so well, I think you have to have that conversation. The one thing I did find interesting, and John Hines, this isn't a trade secret, John Hines has said it to local media the last couple of days, it's like this week they went into it going, we're actually going to decide our starting goaltender based on the opponent. What does Edmonton do well? What does Colorado do well? What type of team is Columbus, who they played last night? And then based on their goaltenders, we think maybe Ballstedt handles a rush team better than a net front team, or you know what I mean? I found that very interesting that they were that open and honest about how they came up with their goaltending rotation for this week. Maybe that plan changes moving forward, but I thought that was a very honest assessment of we're sitting down with our goalie coach, Freddie Shabbat, who used to work for the Oilers organization, of course, and we're kind of looking at who we're playing, what the schedule dictates, where our goaltenders thrive, and putting the plan in that way. So we'll see how it transpires, but it's definitely a good problem to have with both Swedish-born goaltenders fighting for the net, but also getting some rest and some practice reps in between that allows them to hone finer parts of their game. And I don't think either guy's getting gassed, and they're both competing for it too, which is a good thing to have. You're pushing Philip Gustafson, who maybe came into this year thinking he was going to play 60 games. He's now going to earn his net every night.
Joe O'Donnell joins us talking Minnesota Wild. Of course, the Edmonton Oilers will be in Minnesota to take on the Wild tomorrow afternoon. You look at their lineup, Matt Boldy, I'm expecting is going to make Team USA. Obviously, Quinn Hughes. You think Faber makes that team?
No, absolutely. I mean, by some reports that I'm seeing and doing the math, people are thinking the Wild could have 9 or 10 guys, if you include maybe a David Spacek, an Iowa Wild defenseman for Team Czechia, whose father Yaroslav played a long time in the NHL. Spacek's had some opportunities with Czechia in the World Championships recently. So when you start looking down their pipeline, they could have maybe 9, 10 guys represent various countries. And I think Faber is an absolute lock. I think him and Hughes, with the chemistry they've showed, is going to be, something that Team USA will have to consider. Last year, Faber at the Four Nations played so well with Jacob Slavin, kind of got on the national radar for some that maybe hadn't been, too aware of just how good Brock Faber was. But now he and Hughes have put together a nice few games with Minnesota. I think it'll just give Team USA some other options there when they go to eventually make their selections and then decide who's going to play with who.
Joe, one last one you're saying 9. So obviously there's 2 defensemen, obviously Gustavsson in goal, right? Matt Boldy,
yep. Eriksson Ek, Brodin,
Nico Sturm's going for Germany, I would assume.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And who else?
Now you're putting me on the spot and I'm going to totally have forgotten somebody.
Because you're and that's okay, but it is pretty damn good. Now, one guy, Danila Yurov, who's young player. I saw his play there. He was directing traffic to Tarasenko right off the faceoff, wins it basically right where he said to be, and then boom, he scores right off the draw. I know he got nicked up a little bit beforehand, but could this guy maybe solve their internal problem for a center iceman?
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason why they were even more comfortable moving Marco Rossi But real quick on the Olympic thing, do we count Gustafsson, maybe Wallstedt for Team Sweden? I know that would be a big change to get both goalies from one team, especially with Wallstedt being so young. But you got to factor in Gustafsson being a potential.
Yeah, oh, Gustafsson, I had him, yeah. As well. Yeah, I had him on there for sure. I think he's the lock.
Yeah, but just back to Yurov, like, there are some similarities between Rossi's game and Yurov's game. They're both smart players. They both read things well. They support well on the breakouts. And these aren't just, you know, my observations. This is talking to the coaching staff as well. Rossi's game more polished offensively at this point, but Yurov's starting to come along there. And the all-Russian line that they've used the last couple of nights with Tarasenko and Trenyan on the wings with young Danila Yurov, it's been exciting. They have good chemistry. They had a nice rush goal last night in Columbus with a couple of drop passes, and Tarasenko buries one. And, boy, if the Wild can get Tarasenko scoring goals, he had 11 last year with Detroit, obviously down year by his standards. He started slow here in Minnesota, but he's heating up lately. If he can get in that 15-20 range when you get Zuccarello back, which sounds like could be as early as tomorrow, and if this team can ever get healthy, it could be scary good how they are because, or how good they are, because they haven't had their opening night lineup once all season. And they still put together a pretty remarkable run starting in November. So Yurov's going to be a big part of it. He's very defensively responsible for his first year in North America. It's the first thing I heard about him when they had the prospect showcase before training camp, and I was asking management, all right, what do you see here? They said, we won't have to worry about the defensive part of the game. And that, to me, was like, okay, usually a kid comes over and that's all you worry about, right, as a first-round pick, is like, is he committed to the 200-foot game? So John Hines has no issue playing him in some of those spots. The face-off circle is going to be a work in progress. He's just under 40% on the year. But he's getting more confidence offensively. He's a fun player to watch.
Awesome stuff, Joy. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much for this. And enjoy the game tomorrow. And happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
There you go. That's Joe O'Donnell.